got children in the DBK program, you can take them out to DBK right now. And we're doing okay this morning. Yeah, it's been a good morning hearing some testimonies. And who's encouraged by what we heard this morning? Yeah. God is good. God is faithful. He's for you, not against you. I love that song. You know, God is for you. He's for you. He's for your family, your children, your children's children. Now, he's a God of the generations. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a God of the generations. I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Those of you who have been praying and praying for your family, don't give up. Don't give up. We're hearing testimonies this morning how God answers prayer. God is faithful and God is good and he is for you. Don't give up. Keep being strong. Keep praying. I feel there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And it's when we lose hope, we get discouraged. When we lose hope, you know, lose faith in a sense that God will come through for us. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but I think it says then a dream fulfilled is like a tree of life. And God wants to fulfill those dreams that he's put in your heart. God wants to fulfill those things you've been praying for. God wants to fulfill. He wants to see your family, you know, walking with the Lord again. Does this witness to anyone this morning? I just kind of feel I need to break that hope deferred off people's lives this morning. Breaking off hope deferred so that faith can rise, faith can be built again, so that you continue to pray, continue to trust God that he will come through for you. There's a timing for everything. And we don't necessarily understand God's timing and why things happen when they do or why they don't happen when they should happen and things like that. But God knows. He knows. He's the God of the generations. He's for you. He's for your children. He's for your children's children. And so I just kind of feel I just want to pray against that hope deferred. If you're feeling that, you know, you're losing hope, that got that hope deferred, you're becoming so discouraged, you're losing faith that God's actually going to come through for you. I just want to break that. I want to break that this morning, and so faith can rise and that you can continue to push in and continue to pray and that we will see miracles. We will see answers to prayer. We're seeing it already. We're hearing about it already. Is that all right? Yeah, right. Lord, I just pray right now for those, Lord, who are carrying this hope deferred, Lord, who have become, in a sense, so discouraged, Lord, where they're not seeing answers to prayer. And I really think of it in the context of family not walking with the Lord. So, Lord, I just pray you break that hope deferred off our lives, Lord. Lord, I pray as you break it off, I pray, Lord, instead of discouragement, Lord, there would be encouragement. I pray, God, that faith would start to rise in each and every one of us again, Lord, that we would continue to press in, that we would continue to pray. We would pray with hope and with faith that you will come through for us. Lord, we just really believe that we will see our children and our children's children turn, make that choice to turn to follow you with all their heart, soul, mind and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're going through a sermon series called Cultural Values. And over the last 2 weeks, we had Sharon and Nikori share. We have five of them, five cultural values. And they shared last week on the D and the R. So I should have said, what is our cultural value? What are our cultural values? And it's the acronym of the dream. We all kind of know that. So we all know that. It's the dream. The cultural values of Dream Builders Church is not just this one, but across the network in all locations across Australia. And they're cultural values because they're values that are really, 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 really important. I'm not an English teacher. Is there an English teacher here? That's probably a bad way of trying to emphasise importance. They're cultural values because we value these values. Oh my gosh, help me, Jesus. We see these as priorities, as very, 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 very important. Can you kind of sense my emphasis on importance, priorities? So as a Christ follower, and I don't think it's just a Dream Builders Church thing, as a Christ follower, these are values that we should have as priorities in our lives. Because I think they're values that Jesus held on to. And they're values that Jesus lived out. So we've got, below me there, we've got our values, the dream. And the dream is just like, not just like a nice little name because we're dream builders, or it's not a nice little acronym. No, these are values that we think are a priority for our lives. And I think Jesus walked these values out. I think the disciples walked these values out. And I believe they're values for every Christ follower to walk out. And so it's always good to do a bit of a refresher, you know, and get back to, you know, Christianity is a simple message, really, isn't it? And we can complicate it. But the gospel message is simple. Love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. I mean, Jesus answered a question he answered a question that was asked by, I think it was like a religious leader. He says, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, well, the greatest commandment out of the law is this: love God with some of your heart, love God just with some of your mind. No, he says, love God with all your heart, with everything. Love God with all your mind. What is it that you meditate on during the week? We don't just love God on a Sunday morning. But what are we meditating on during the week? Are we loving God in our mind? With all your soul, all your strength. It means to love God with everything that you have. Everything. It's about God. We've been created to worship God. We've been created to love God. But he said, that's not just it. That's only half the truth. It's not just loving God, but it's loving your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love your wife. No, it's actually love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's love your neighbor as you would want to be loved yourself. Treat people as you want to be treated. You know, encourage others as you want to be encouraged, that type of thing. And so when we look at these cultural values, I see at play the greatest command. Love God, love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor. You know, Sharon and Nicori mentioned, how good was Nicori's message last week? Wild joy. My gosh. Reminded of my auntie. She was a bit wild joy. No, I'm joking. It's amazing where your mind goes wild joy, you know, having this joy when, you know, in that Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, in that community, they had this wild joy. But they both referenced Acts 2, verse chapter 42 to 47. Chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. And you see the greatest command playing out. Loving God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, all their strength, and loving their neighbour as themselves. So, you know, they sat under the apostles' teaching. They sat under the word of God. They prayed together. They went to the temple together. They worshipped together. There's a beautiful expression of their devotion to God. Funny that, our first letter was D, devotional. But then what else do you see happening in that context? They were meeting in each other's homes. They were sharing meals. They were having communion together. They were sharing possessions to those that were in need. We've got this beautiful picture of loving one another, loving their neighbour. So in that whole context of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 47, we've got this beautiful picture of a community that's just loving God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength, and a community that's loving their neighbour like themselves. How cool is that? And then our first two letters of the dream is devotional and relational. We see it right there in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture of a church that is fully in love with Jesus and a church that is fully in love with one another. And isn't that not what it's meant to be? I don't know if that came out right, but isn't that what it's meant to be? Christianity is meant to be, the gospel message is a simple message. Love God and love your neighbour. And when I first got saved, I mean, I was very introverted. Still am, I think. But very introverted. Which means I got saved and it was like I didn't like being around people. You know, I was generally introverted people, they get their strength from being, you know, they recharge, being on their own. I used to spend a lot of time on my own. It was just me and God. It's just me and God. It's okay. It's just me and God. It's me and God. But you know what? That's living half the truth. If it's just me and God and me and God and me and God, that's not the full truth. That's not the full truth Jesus taught. He says it's you and God, me and God, and also you and other people. We see that in Acts chapter 2. A devotion to God, a devotion to the Word, devotion to prayer, devotion to worship, going to the temple every day. But they had a devotion to one another. They were connecting with one another, supporting one another. I love it as a church, you know, with Jeremy and Kirsty, that testimony, that just blessed me, Jeremy, as a church. Man, let's support Jeremy and Kirsty, you know, and let's get meals out to them and things like that. That's awesome. So we're doing this. That's pretty cool, yeah? It's pretty cool when you start walking out the commands of Jesus. I think it's awesome. So, today, we're going to be doing E, the letter E. Play school has just entered my mind. The letter E. And so, I'm going to talk about E. Did anyone know what the word E means? Well, there you go. They're the best tests to have, aren't they? Those open book tests. The letter E. So we're called to be devotional people. We're called to be relational. And that's walking out the greatest commandment, the simple message of the gospel, is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself. This morning I want to talk about being equipped. We are equipped for a purpose. So let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We all doing okay here this morning? Yeah. Ephesians 2:10. For this is what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. For we are God's handiwork. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God had prepared in advance for us to do. I love that. We are God's handiwork. Can you say, we are God's handiwork? We are God's handiwork. And we've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God had prepared in advance for us to do. So as a body of believers, we have been created. We're God's handiwork. So we can personalize this and individualize it if we like, but I believe Paul's writing to the church. He's saying the church is God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So you've been created for a purpose, created to do good works. And it says the works that God has prepared or planned in advance for us to do. How awesome is that? That God has a plan and a purpose. He has works for us to do. It's pretty cool, I think. Let's look at the NIV. NIV says we are God's masterpiece. So anything God creates, it's pretty special, isn't it? I mean, he's the creator of all creators. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long ago. Can I just say now that Christianity is not, we're not meant to be passive when it comes to our walk with the Lord. We're not meant to be passive. It's about action. It's about action. It's about doing things. It's about doing the works that God has called us to do. God has created a body here. It's his masterpiece. It's his handiwork. And we've been created for a purpose to do the works he's planned long, 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 long time ago in a galaxy far away. Before probably beginning of time, he saw the body of Christ in Smithton and says, I've got work for you to do. We don't just exist to exist. We're not just created to exist. We're created for a purpose. Now, purpose, first and foremost, it's to worship God. It's to love God. But God has other things for us to do. He's got work for us to do. He's got things for us to do. That's exciting. When you start walking out what God has ordained you to do, you start fulfilling purpose, you start fulfilling destiny, you start fulfilling your call in this life. There's nothing better than that. Think of a masterpiece, right? Think of the Mona Lisa. It's a masterpiece. Leonardo da Vinci, it's a masterpiece. Beautiful work of art. You think of Romeo and Juliet from Shakespeare. For some people, that's a beautiful, beautiful piece of writing. That word masterpiece is the Greek word poema. We get the word poem from, the English word poem from. God has written a poem about the body of Christ, about Dream Builders Church here in Smithton. It's a masterpiece. And he's written things that we are to do. And I'm going to be foolish enough to stand up here and shoot me down if you like, but I don't care. I'm going to be foolish enough to say that today is the day that we start walking out the works that God has called us to do. Let's not be passive and sit back and wait for the next generation to rise up and do the works that God has called the body of Christ to do in Circlehead or Dream Builders Church. Let's be the generation. Let's be the generation that does that. I don't know, that might make some people feel a little bit nervous. Amen. Amen. Who wants to leave it to the next generation? There may not be another one. Do you realize there may not be another one? The time is now that God is asking the body of Christ to rise up and start doing the works that he's called us to do. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. You're all a bit quiet here this morning. And are you all a bit nervous about that? Or I'm going to tell you now, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. God doesn't see in age. Otherwise, he wouldn't have asked Sarah and Abraham to get together and do what they did when they were way beyond bearing, you know, years. He's not into ages. Doesn't matter. If you're still walking this earth, you're still breathing, God has got a plan and a purpose for you to do. He's still calling you to do good works. Hebrews 13, verse 20, it says, Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May you be equipped with everything that you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. So God's word, it's there to teach us and to correct us. When we sit under God's word, it's there to teach us, to encourage us, but it's also there to correct us. When we start to drift, the Holy Spirit says, you know, this is what our lines line up with the word of God. We need to come back into alignment with what God's word says. So it's the all scriptures inspired by God. It's useful to teach. It's useful to correct. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Did you hear that last bit? God uses the word of God to prepare and to equip his people to do every good work. Now, I know some of you have been in church for a number of years. Can I say this? Every time the word of God has gone out has been preached in church. God is preparing you and equipping you to do every good work. He is preparing and equipping you to do the works he's called you to do, those works that he planned way before even time began. We have no excuse. Sorry, I don't want to be a bearer of bad news, but we'd have no excuse for not fulfilling what God is calling us, those good works he's calling us to do, because he's been preparing us. Sorry. He's been preparing us and he has been equipping us. Every time the word goes out, every time you open up the Bible and you read the word, he is preparing you and equipping you. So what does equip mean? The Cambridge Dictionary defines equipping like this. It is to give someone or something the tools and equipment they need to do a job. To give someone or something the tools and equipment needed to do a job. Now I've got some pictures that we'll put up on the screen, but it's about, think of a job that you might have to do at home. Think of removing a tree stump. Maybe we've all had that experience where, you know, we've needed to remove a tree stump from home. Now there are a couple of different ways you can remove a tree stump. So firstly, you can do it by hand. There we go. So play that one again. You can do it by hand or by foot. There you go. Like that doesn't work well. It doesn't end up well for the guy. You know, he just makes a fool of himself. He's probably pulled a hamstring and, you know, got to do some rehab, you know, to get himself body back to full fitness. So you can do it by foot. Doesn't work well. What about by hand? So you've got a shovel there. I mean, who wants to dig out a big, depending on how big the stump is and how deep and wide the roots go, but who wants to be removing a stump by hand? I can tell you now, it's either going to break your back or it's going to break the shovel. Or do something a little bit easier. Get a stump grinder. Use the right tool for the right job. It becomes effortless. And you can get the job done in like a minuscule of time. God has equipped you with the tools to do the works he's called you to do. He's equipped you with tools. He's equipped you with skills. He's equipped you with gifts. He's equipped you with abilities to be able to do the good works he's called you to do. In fact, he's gifted you with gifts, with skills and abilities that you can use to help the body of Christ fulfill what the body of Christ is called to do. Does that make sense? There's a show on TV called The Block. Who watches The Block? Got a few people. I'm not a big fan of The Block. I've watched it bits and pieces, but it's a reality TV show about, well, they renovate like five houses or apartments, you know, and it's all about a competition and, you know, different couples are competing against one another. And the ultimate goal is to sell the house and make as much money you can on at auction, right? They sell it to the, is that right? They sell it to the, something like that. I'm not an expert on it. Probably shouldn't share it as an example, but I think it's a good example anyway. I've watched a couple of episodes in this season. And what I find about The Block, right, it's all about renovating houses. It's all about taking it to auction, trying to sell it at the highest price to try and make the most profit. Therefore, you win the prize. You win the competition. But what I'm finding is that you don't have to have experience in renovating houses to go on the show. You don't have to have any renovating experience. You don't have to be a builder. You don't have to be a plumber. You don't have to be a plasterer to go on the show. Anyone can go on. So there's a couple of girls that are on this show. They've had no renovating experience. They've none whatsoever. They're a couple of sisters who just probably applied to go on to The Block and they won and they're on The Block. But if they've got no renovating experience, how do they renovate the house? Well, they get help. The show themselves, you know, gives assistance and gives technical advice. And, you know, they're provided with contractors. They're provided with technical people. They're provided with plasterers and plumbers and sparkies. They've got no idea how to renovate the house. But you know what? They've been resourced in a sense. They've been equipped by the show so that they can renovate the house. And it's very much like the body of Christ. You know, the body of Christ, one person can't do everything. Hello? One person can't do everything. Even on a Sunday morning, one person can't do the whole lot. Can you imagine me meeting everybody at the door? 9:45, everyone comes in, give everyone a hug. Straight from the door at 10 o'clock, I'm whipping myself right up here, get on the keys. And start leading everybody in worship. I think after a few weeks, we might only have one or two come through at the door. So, but then from worship, I jump here and I start to share the gospel message. Once the gospel message is over, bang, straight into the kitchen. I'm pressing buttons to, you know, get coffees to come out. Same time I'm doing coffees, I need to get into the DBK and, you know, kids' church. One person can't do it all. One person can't do all of that. It's not designed for one person to do all of that. God has equipped the body of Christ with different resources, different skills, different abilities, different talents to get the job done. We all play a part. This is what equipping's all about. We are equipped because God has got good works for us to do. I said that before. It was in the, you know, in the scripture. He's got Ephesians 2 verse 10. He's got good works for us to do, works that he's planned for us many, 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 many moons ago. But what he has done is he has resourced the body of Christ with skills, gifts, abilities, and talents so that we can walk out those works that God has asked us to do. Is that okay? Yes. I shouldn't have said that because it doesn't matter, because I believe that's biblical. That's the Bible. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. Yeah, we've been called, and we've been called for a purpose. And this is what it means to be equipped. We've been equipped with the tools, the right tools, to be able to get the job done that is effortless and it gets the job done quickly. I've got a Bible example for you. It's Exodus chapter 35. I'll read through this quickly. It just says from verse 30, Moses told the people of Israel, "The Lord has specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God. I find that really fascinating. It's very rarely written, I didn't check this up, but it's very rarely written in the Old Testament that God fills someone with the Spirit of God. Normally the Spirit of God comes on people. They're filled with the Spirit of God. But this guy, Bezalel, was filled with the Spirit of God. It gave him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mountain gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master at every craft. And the Lord had given both him and Oholiab, the son of Inasmuch, of the tribe of Dan... That is too hard to say. The ability to teach their skills to others. I love that. God has gifted and has skilled two guys, and one of them is filled with the Spirit of God, but not only, he'd given them the ability to instruct and teach others their skill. This is a classic picture of discipleship. This is a classic picture of discipleship. The Lord has given them special skills as engravers, designers, embroiderers, in blue and purple, and scarlet thread, and fine linen cloth, and weavers. And they excel as craftsmen and designers. Verse 1 of chapter 36. The Lord gifted Bezalel and Oholiab and all other skilled craftsmen with wisdom and the ability to perform any task involved in building the sanctuary. That's building the tabernacle. This is their guys walking through the wilderness. And Moses is up on the mountain. He gets a blueprint from God about building a tabernacle, a place where the Israelites could come and worship God. And so Moses has pulled the blueprint out and says, "What do we do?" And God says, "It's okay, because I've skilled people that will come around, that will get together, and they'll build it with you, and they'll build it for you." So Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab, verse 2, and all the others who were specifically gifted by the Lord and were eager to get to work. Moses gave them the materials donated by the people of Israel as sacred offerings for the completion of the sanctuary. You know, the tabernacle was in God's heart before the Israelites walked out of Egypt. It was the work that God had called those Israelites to do well, truly in advance. God knew that they needed a place where they could come and worship the Lord. So what did he do? He gave Moses the resources, human resources, skilled people with gifts and abilities, people who were filled with the Spirit of God, that they'd even can train others to get the job done. How awesome is that? God had equipped the nation of Israel to build the tabernacle. The good works that God is calling us to do, I think one of them is to build. We are called to build. Our mission statement. Who knows what our mission statement is? That's it. Building lives, transforming communities. God is calling us to build. Building lives, transforming communities. That's our mission statement. Half of it is building lives. So our passion is about building lives. Many people who come to the Lord or find themselves in church, they don't know what their purpose is, or they don't know how to live or conduct themselves because they may be baby Christians or maybe immature Christians. But when we come alongside baby Christians or new Christians, we play a part in discipling them. We help them to build. But we just don't help them to build. We help them to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Building on the rock. Because many people build on different foundations. And we know there's only one foundation that will survive the storm, and that is the rock, that is the foundation of Jesus Christ. So we help people build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's about discipleship. We play a part with what the Holy Spirit is doing when he's building lives and transforming communities. Another scripture, and then I'll close. Is this helping anyone this morning? So we're called to be devotional. We're called to be a relational. We are also, as Dream Builders Churches, I shouldn't say we're called to be, I should say we are devotional. We are relational and we are equipped. Nehemiah chapter 2. Early in the spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified. But I replied, "Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." The king asked, "Well, how can I help you?" With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, "If it pleases the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried." The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, "Well, how long will you be gone? When will you return?" After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. I also said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through the territories on my way to Judah. And please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and for a house for myself." And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on him. "When I came to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, I delivered the king's letters to them. The king, I should add, had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me." So you have a picture here of Nehemiah. is in Babylon, where Judah was exiled. He's in Babylon. He gets a heart of wanting to go back to rebuild the walls, the city, the walls of the city and the temple. And so he goes to the king. And the king blesses him, and not only blesses him to go and do the work, but the king actually resourced him to go and do it. Gave him letters for safe travel, gave him letters to go to the timber yard to get the timber to do the job. And no doubt Nehemiah had people back in Jerusalem at that time who were skilled that would help him build the wall, because it only took him 50 days to rebuild. They took only about 50 days and the wall was rebuilt. So we're called, the good works we're called to do is to build, and it's also to rebuild. We're called to build and to rebuild. We're called to build lives, rebuild lives. How many know people's lives have been devastated because of what the enemy has done? Well, people's lives have been devastated because even just life. Life can throw curveballs at us. We all know that. Life can throw curveballs and can just devastate people's lives. But as a body and as a community of faith, we've been called to build, but also to rebuild. Rebuild people's lives that have been hammered by the enemy. To build and to rebuild. We all play a part in doing that. Just on a Sunday morning, just as I close, we all play a part in doing that. From everyone who goes out and hugs people walking through those doors, you're playing a part in building people's lives and in rebuilding people's lives. To the creative team, the skills set up here, awesome. Sitting, not only sitting and standing in church and worshiping God, but also their skill set is allowing us to build our lives, allowing us to rebuild our lives. It's allowing us to be ministered to by God. Who was ministered to by some of those songs this morning? Who was ministered to by the goodness of God? We just spoke about the faithfulness of God. We spoke about how God is so good. He answers prayer. And then we get up and start singing this song about the goodness of God. Who was ministered to by that? Because I certainly were. So it's building me. It's rebuilding me. Even out in the kids' church, we're building lives out in the kids' church. Everybody plays a part. And this is the thing. We all get to do what God has called us to do. God has brought us together with skills, with gifts, with abilities, that we can actually walk out the works that He has prepared for us to do many, 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 many years ago, most likely at creation. I want to have the body of Christ in Smithland, and this is what the body of Christ is going to do in Smithland. They're going to build people's lives, and they're going to rebuild people's lives. How awesome is that? We have an incredible part to play. Now, you might be thinking this morning, you might be thinking, well, I don't even know what my gifts are. I don't even know what my skills are. I don't know what kind of spiritual gift I have. Well, can I encourage you? Come along on Tuesday night. We're doing a shape course. We're running the shape course. And this hopefully will give you an idea of what gifts, what abilities you have, how God has wired you, where is your fit, so that you can play a part in all of us walking together and fulfilling what God has called us to do. Do you want to just stand? Lord, I just thank you. I thank you have a call and a purpose for our lives. I thank you, God, that, Lord, that you didn't just create us to exist. You didn't just create us as robots that we would, you know, every, I don't know, a couple of hours every day, we would just go into a robotic prayer. But you've called us for a relationship. But not only have you called us for a relationship, Lord, but I just thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for us. Lord, you have works that you have called us to do. And Lord, I just pray, God, that we would just feel a sense of urgency about walking out those good works in our lives. Lord, we know our lives are but a vapor. Our lives are like steam on a cup of coffee. One minute it's there, and next minute it's gone. Our lives go so quickly. I pray, God, that you would just arrest our hearts and that you would keep our minds and hearts focused on eternity. Lord, so many people's lives in this area need to be built. Lord, so many people's lives in this area need to be rebuilt. I pray, God, as you equip this body, as you resource this body with skills and talents and gifts and abilities, Lord, that we will walk out everything that you've called us to do and everything that you've called us to be. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who gives us the power to do these things. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.